Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're continuing our sermon series on the need for joy, looking specifically at this letter from Philippians that Paul wrote. And today we're looking at Philippians chapter 2, and the title for the sermon today is Joy in Humility. Now, if that sounds a little odd, it's all right. Probably should, because of the way that we talk about humility so often in our culture. If you think of, you know, kind of a sliding scale with humility on one end and pride on the other, and if you had to put a dot, you know, where we fall as a society, either favoring humility or pride, my guess is that most of us are going to put that dot, you know, somewhere over on this side of things. Now, as a people, I think we do talk a little bit about, and we warn about, the problem that comes with excessive pride. But very rarely do we extol the virtue of humility. And when you think about it, most of the time when we talk about humility, we talk about it in a negative sense. Not as something that someone would willingly do to themselves, but something that is done to them from the outside. So it might come up, you know, you're watching a football game later on and you say after some blown play, "Did you see how that quarterback was humbled on that play?" Or if you want a more concrete example, about a year ago, if you had the opportunity to watch Elon Musk as he gave his presentation, live presentation of his brand new Cybertruck, and one of the features of that truck, which he was very proud of, were these bulletproof, shatterproof windows. And if you didn't get a chance to see it, you can YouTube it later on. It's well worth the 2 minutes of your time. But in that moment, as the truck was wheeled out, he was in front of a live audience, and it was being broadcast live. He had his assistant pick up this metal ball the size of a tennis ball and throw it at the window. And he was honestly believing that this metal ball would bounce off the window and not leave a scratch. But if you watched it, what actually happened is what you thought would happen. Heard a crunch, the window was shattered. Elon Musk, in his defense, he said, well, at least it didn't go through the window. But he firmly believed it was a fluke, enough that he had the assistants pick up the ball again and chuck it at the second window with the same effect. As you watch that video back, you can see the look of existential dread that crosses his face, because the next 3 minutes of his presentation, we're going to be lauding these bulletproof, shatterproof windows, which had just been thrown, you know, proverbially speaking, out the window. That was a cringeworthy moment of an individual being humbled. But in spite of the way that we talk about humility, Paul in Philippians 2 has a different take on it, a much more positive one. And so at the beginning of Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writes this. He says, "If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." And then he says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." In essence, what Paul is saying there is that as followers of Christ, we should take our cues in humility from Christ, not from our culture. And he's also saying that joy can be found on that road as well. Not joy in spite of humility, but joy in humility. Now, a while back I heard this story. It was about a mom and her two young sons. For the purposes of our story today, we'll call them Jacob and Esau. She was making them breakfast one morning, pancakes, and the two boys were sitting at the kitchen table. They were arguing about who was going to get the first pancake. And as they argued, a light bulb went off in their mother's head. She realized this was the perfect opportunity to teach them a lesson, to teach them a little bit about Jesus. And so she turned to the boys who were arguing over who was going to get the first pancake, and she said to them, "Boys, you know, if Jesus were sitting here, he would say to his brother, 'You can have the first pancake.' I can wait. The boys paused for a moment in their arguing. They looked at one another, and then Jacob spoke up. He turned to his brother and he said, Esau, you be Jesus. Now, when it comes to humility, it's a lifelong journey, a lifelong process for us. It's not as if we're ever going to hit this point where we can say, I've arrived, I am now completely humble, I've got no more growth to do in this area. It's a lifelong process, and in how Paul addresses humility here in these first 11 verses in chapter 2, he gives us a roadmap of sorts from this journey from pride to humility and how joy can be found along the way. But it's important to note at the outset that what Paul says at the beginning about our need for humility, about our need to think more about the other people in our lives than we do about ourselves, all of that is dependent on what comes next. What he says about our need for humility, it's dependent on what he says next about Christ and his remarkable humility. And it bears repeating again. So in verse 5 he writes, "Have this mind among yourselves which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." That is an incredible statement. It's an incredible series of few verses that talk about the mystery of the incarnation. And if you ever wondered, and as you're reading through the Gospels, why it was that no one seemed to catch who Jesus was, or at least not catch on very quickly. That, you know, part of it is we've got the benefit of hindsight. We read these Gospels, we know the story, we know how it plays out. But the other part, I think Paul addresses here in these verses. The reason why so many people didn't see Jesus for who he was, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, was because of the way he came. That he came in humility. In this way, his humility was his best disguise. See, God could have come down among us as anyone. But he came in this particular way, born into a family of carpenters, born into a nation that wasn't the most wealthy or powerful, just this backwater nation of Israel that didn't even have control of its own governance. Christ could have come as a king, or as a politician, or someone wealthy or powerful. Instead, he came as a suffering servant. The God of all creation, who made all of this, who governs all of this, he took on human form, came down into his creation as one of us, in arguably one of the greatest acts of humility. Ultimately, he went to the cross and bore your sins so that they could be atoned for, so that you could be called a son and daughter of his. And so everything else that we can say about our humility or our need for humility, striving for humility, it's dependent on that, on who Christ is. So practically speaking, when it comes to the steps that you could take to begin to practice humility, to begin to turn away from pride, I could say a lot, and I don't want to have you sit here for the next half hour to lay out specific steps. You could talk about the need for identifying those areas of pride in your life and turning from them. The need not to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less. You could talk about the need to not be so quick to demand your own rights, but to look out for the rights of others. But honestly, all of those practical steps you could take, none of them would amount to anything if you didn't first heed what Paul says here in Philippians chapter 2 and the way he lays this out. Because again, he talks first about our need for humility, and then he turns right away and focuses on the humility of Christ. In essence, what he's doing, it's, you know, imagine standing in front of a full-length mirror, your reflection staring back at you, with Christ off to one side. As Paul is writing these verses in Philippians chapter 2, the effect of them is, you know, imagine Paul gently turning your head away from that reflection of yourself in the mirror to focus on Christ. When your gaze is fixed on yourself, your happiness, your level of joy will always be dependent on your circumstances. When things are going well in your marriage, in the world, in your life in general, then likely you'll be happy and satisfied. And when things aren't, you won't be. But when your gaze is fixed directly on Christ and what He has done for you and who He is, then you can find joy in every circumstance, not just in spite of your circumstances. See, Christ is the only one who can both exemplify and empower our humility. See, if you were to pull up online later on today, you know, list of 10 steps to follow in order to be a more humble person, and you were to set out to follow those strictly this week, I've no doubt that you would be able to do it for a little while. But eventually, you would fail. You'd get worn down. You'd forget that that was what you were doing. Or your desire to continue doing that would simply evaporate. None of us can do it on our own. But that's where Christ steps in and empowers us to do what we couldn't do on our own. And there is joy that can be found in humility. It's joy in the freedom that comes from being freed from the obsession of that reflection of ourselves in the mirror, that reflection of ourselves that we reflect to the world. It's joy in knowing that we don't have to stare at that reflection. We don't have to run after all of those things that we so often fill our lives with. It's joy in knowing that when we mess up, and you will, and pride gets away from you, and it's pointed out to you or you realize it yourself, it's knowing that that pride itself has been atoned for by Christ and you don't have to carry the weight of that burden any longer. For just a moment, I want you to imagine a couple scenarios. What it would look like if we lived out what Paul says here in Philippians chapter 2. First, imagine what this would mean for your marriage. If you and your spouse look not out first for yourself, but for one another. If you loved each other sacrificially in the same way that Christ loved himself and gave himself for the church. I imagine there would be a lot fewer divorces. Imagine what this would look like in our workplaces. Every day when you got up and you went into work, you went in thinking as you made your drive in, not about the things that you needed to accomplish and the things that you wanted to do in order to advance your career and your goals, but you went in each morning thinking about what you could do to serve your boss, to serve the needs of your fellow co-workers, to make their lives easier. Imagine what this would look like in our world, whether it's on the national stage or in our communities. If from the top down, we began to consider and to care more for the needs of others first rather than our own needs and our own wants and desires. To close, I'll give the Apostle Paul the final words. This is what he writes beginning at verse 12. He says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." So this week, as you continue on this journey from pride to humility, my encouragement would be that you bookmark this place in your Bible, or you take your bulletins home and you highlight these first 11 verses of Philippians. And as you begin your morning with prayer, read again what Paul says, his admonition for you to humble yourself And here again how he points us to Christ and his humility, which both exemplifies and empowers our own. In Jesus' name, amen.